This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with our series called Doing Business with God. In this series, Rick helps you understand why you work, what you should be working for, and how God can use you in your workplace. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Work God Shaped You to Do.
In 1 cubic feet of snow, 1 cubic foot of snow, there are 18 million snowflakes. The unique thing about that is not one of them is alike. God has never made 2 snowflakes identical. Every single snowflake ever made is different than every other snowflake ever made. That's called overdosing on variety. God loves variety. Let me put it another way. There are 7 billion people on this planet right now, and there's not a single one of them like you. Every one of us is completely different than every one of us. We're all unique. God does not make copies of anything. God does not make clones of anything. God does not reproduce identical things of anything. Even identical twins are different in literally millions of different ways. And you could search all of history, every human being that God has ever created before us and whoever will come after us. There will never be anyone like you that has your thumbprint, your voice print, your handprint, your heartbeat, your footprint, your DNA, your personality, your experiences, and anything else. You are one of a kind, original. As I said, God never makes clones or copies. Why? Because originals are always worth far more than copies. And God made you as an original. There is no one in the universe, and there never will be anyone in the universe just like you. You are uniquely shaped by God for His purpose. And He made you to be you, and He doesn't want you to be anybody else. And when you try to be somebody else and you try to copy somebody else, it only leads to frustration and disaster in your life. Every human being that God has created, He breaks the mold after He's created that person. He started with the very first person, Adam. Look here on the screen, Genesis chapter 2, the first book of the Bible. God shaped man from the soil of the ground. Notice, God shaped man. We're going to see this word a lot today. God shaped man from the soil of the ground, blew the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living being. God shaped the very first man, Adam. But more than that, He shaped you. And your shape is absolutely unique. Let me show you what the Bible says about this. Psalm 139, there on your outline. You, God, shaped me. There's that word. You shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You don't even know every bone in your body, but God does. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. And all the stages of my life, all the stages of my life were spread out before you. All the days of my life, all prepared before I'd even lived one day. That is an amazing passage of scripture. I want you to circle all the things that God says He knows and has done about you. First, I want you to circle the word shaped. God shaped me inside and out. Then circle the word formed. God formed me in my mother's womb. He took hands-on initiative. You know me. Circle the word know me inside and out. He shaped me. He formed me. He knows me. You watched. Circle that. You watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life are spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared. Circle the word prepared. before I'd even lived one day. Now notice, God says, here's how much attention he was paying to your particular birth. He shaped you. He formed you. He knows everything about you. He watched every stage of your growth in your mother's womb, and he prepared every day of your life. All of this happened before you were born. Do you see why abortion is wrong? It short circuits God's plan. They are not an accident. You say, wait a minute, my life was an accident. No, you're not. You're not an accident. See, God is bigger than your sin and my sin. God is bigger than our mistakes. God is bigger than our choices. God knows every human choice that is going to be made already in the next 1,000 years. And God says, I'll fit that into my plan. I've said this many times. Your parents may not have planned you, but God did. There may be accidental parents, but there are no accidental babies. The only reason you're breathing right now is God shaped you, formed you, knows you, watched you, and prepared every day of your life before you were born. That's why God says you are unique. The Bible says this in the book of Job. Look up here on the screen. Job 10:10. You guided my conception. Wait a minute. You mean even in a rape? Yep. God says, I can take even bad. I can bring good out of bad. You guided my conception. You guided my conception and formed me in the womb. You were you from the moment of conception. Not at the point of birth. You were you from the moment of conception. Now, these verses teach a very important truth. Your shape, how you're wired, is not an accident. That God custom made you. You are a prescription baby. God prescribed you from your birth. You weren't mass produced. You were custom designed. You were handcrafted, and you are a complete, unique individual. And as I said, after God made you, he broke the mold. Now, there are a lot of us in the world today. I mean, when Adam saw Eve, he had to say, and he could say this truthfully. He's the only guy who can say it truthfully. You're the only woman in the world for me. You can't actually say that now. But originals are always worth more than copies. Now, what I want us to do this weekend is look at the impact of your unique shape on your work, your job, your career, your vocation. I want us to look at 4 different questions. What is my shape? Why is my shape important? How do I know that I'm shaped for this job or not? Am I in shape or am I out of my shape in the current work I'm in? And how do I get in my shape? And how do I find the job that best expresses the shape God made me? Because that's what you were created to do. Now, first, let's do a quick review of shape. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. If you've been around Saddleback for any period of time, know that shape is a little acrostic I came up with about 30 years ago that talks about the 5 things that make you you. S-H-A-P-E. Your spiritual gifts, your heart, your ability, your personality, and your experiences. But the fact is, God gives 5 things to make you you. First, when you become a believer, he gifts you. There are about 20 spiritual gifts listed in the Bible. And he gifts you to have certain spiritual abilities to do things. And then heart, he gives you a passion. It's what you love to do. The interest you have, the reason you have those interests is because God put that interest in you. Then he gives you abilities. Everybody has abilities, whether you're a Christian or not. These are natural abilities. Some of you are good at math, and some of you are good at mechanical things, and some of you are good at musical things, or artistic things, or physical coordination, or mental coordination, or you're good with people, or good with animals, or we're all different. We all have different abilities so that everything gets done. The P is your personality. We all have different personalities. Some people like routine. Some people like variety. Some people like to work by themselves. Some people like to work in a group. Some people like to compete. Some people like to cooperate. It's just the way you're wired. And God wired us all differently. So we have spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, and then you have experiences. And you have vocational experiences and educational experiences and spiritual experiences and family and relational experiences. But really, when you all boil it down, it's what Pastor Eric says. There are 2 buckets of experiences. Positive experiences and painful ones. And God uses them both in your life. God uses both the positive experiences in your life and the painful experiences in your life. And he does this to teach you and prepare you and shape you for what he's made you to be. So those are the shape qualities, but let's look today primarily at why it's important to know for my job. And then there are three reasons. You might write these down. Why is my shape important for my career? Number one, it reveals God's purpose for me. My shape reveals God's purpose for me. It shows me what I'm supposed to do with my life. Now, in architecture, we say form follows function. In other words, if you go to an architect and you want him to build a house or a building, first he'll think and say, what do you want to do in it? You tell me how you want the building to function, and then I'll go create the form that follows the function. Tell me what you want the building to do, and then I'll design it for you. Form follows function in architecture. But with human beings, it's the exact opposite. Function follows form. You know what you're supposed to do with your life by looking at the way God shaped you. Spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, and experiences. God would not give you these gifts and talents and abilities and then not use them. So if you want to know God's will for your life, you want to know what God wants to do in your life, you look at your shape. Because with human beings, function follows form. Now God said this to Jeremiah, there on your outline, chapter 1, Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before I shaped you, circle that word, before I shaped you in your mother's womb, in the womb, I knew all about you. See, that's not a fetus. God says, I knew all about you before you even born, before you even conceived. I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Now circle the phrase holy plans. God says your shape and God's plans for your life go together. That God has holy plans for your life. He had a purpose in creating you. It's why you are the way you are. That he had you in mind, and so he created you for a particular purpose. He says the same thing to Isaiah. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Bring me all the people who are mine, whom I made. Why? For my glory. You were made for God's glory. God made you to give glory to himself. You were made for my glory, those I formed and created, those I shaped. Now, I want you to write this down. Using my shape is an act of worship. Using my shape, what God made me be, is an act of worship. It actually brings glory to God. When you be you, what you're wired to do, it makes God smile. When you be who you were made to be, it brings glory to God. It is an act of worship. God looks at you and says, that's my boy. He's doing what I made him to do. I made him to close deals, and he's doing it. That's my girl. I made her to be artistic. That's my girl. That's my boy. He looks at you, and when you use the spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, experiences God gave you, God is happy. It brings pleasure to God. Now, how does your shape actually bring glory to God? How does you being you bring glory to God? Because when anything that's created fulfills the purpose for which it was created, it brings glory to the Creator. A pencil brings glory to God by being a pencil. It was made to be a pencil. Now, when you try to use a pencil as a screwdriver, it doesn't work. That doesn't bring glory to God. But when a pencil is used as a pencil, that's its purpose. A cow brings glory to God by mooing and giving milk. A tree brings glory to God by providing shade or producing fruit or even just taking in carbon dioxide and giving off oxygen. That brings glory to God because it fulfills its purpose. Birds bring glory to God by tweeting. I bring glory to God by tweeting. It's a different kind, but you will be my twitnesses, is what I say. So I twitness on Twitter. Now, here's the problem. We don't think like God does. And stuff we don't think is very pretty, we think doesn't bring glory to God. We think that the only thing that brings glory to God is if you're really smart, you're really beautiful, you're really coordinated, you're really successful. That brings glory to God. But for the rest of us who are just kind of average, we don't bring glory to God. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You being you brings glory to God. We only think the beautiful brings glory to God. You know, when I go to a zoo, you look at a zoo, some animals, you got to admit, they're pretty ugly. From a human standpoint, they look ugly. An orangutan is not particularly beautiful. And what's really pretty ugly are those monkeys with the big red bottoms. Okay? But you know what? God loves them because he made them. And he created them with big red bottoms. And that's the way God loves them. Now, this attitude actually goes over to people today. And we say, unless you're really good looking or really successful, unless you're making a super contribution to society, then you don't matter, you're not worthwhile, and we really should just get rid of you. This is a modern day philosophy. It's behind euthanasia. And this philosophy says, if you're an elderly person and you're in a convalescent or a retirement home, and maybe you're not able to do anything, not make any big contribution, then you don't matter and you're not worth much and you don't bring glory to God. God says, no, you're wrong. I made them and I'll keep them here as long as I want them to be here. If you are terminally ill and you are on life support machine in a hospital, then they say, well, he's just a, quote, vegetable. Therefore, we should just get rid of him. Or if you are a newborn baby with severe deformities, handicaps, retardation, then we say, that child will not make any contribution to society, so they have no purpose, get rid of them. Well, then you're playing God in all three of those situations, and you're not God. God said, I created every person for my glory, and I have them here as long as I want them for my glory, and then I take them into eternity. You're not God. And so what we want to do is we want to judge human worth in human terms. But God says, no. In the first place, you're handicapped. Everybody in the sound of my voice is handicapped. You have disabilities because the world is broken. Nothing is perfect. You have mental handicaps. You will never be as smart as Einstein. You just won't. You're mentally handicapped. You have emotional handicaps that you have to deal with all your life. You have physical handicaps. Your body doesn't work perfectly. So because you've got handicaps, we should just do away with you? No. Oh, and by the way, I hate to tell you this, you're terminal. Everybody is terminal. The last time I checked, the mortality rate in America is 100%. Nobody lives forever on this planet. You're going to die. So just because somebody's terminal, we should get rid of them? No. We're not getting rid of you and your terminal. Your terminal. You see, we don't think the way God thinks. God says, I created everybody for my purpose and my shape, and they bring me glory by being themselves, not trying to be somebody else. You can't bring glory to God trying to be somebody you're not. So the first reason my shape is important to my job is it reveals God's purpose for me. Number two is it equips me for my life mission and my life message. My shape, my spiritual gifts, my heart, my abilities, my personality, my experiences, these equip me for my life mission and my life message. What is my life mission? It's your life work. It's what God created you to do on this planet. The body of your life work is your life mission. What is your life message? It's what God wants to say to the world through you. It's unique. It's your message from your life to the world. I can't give your life message because I'm not you. You can't give me my life message because I'm not me. You can only give your life message. I can only give mine. If you don't give your life message to the world, it doesn't get heard. And God says, I created you and shaped you for a life mission and a life message. This is your life's work. It's what I put you on earth to do. Isaiah 49 verse 5 says this. God formed me in my mother's womb to be a servant. He commissioned me. Circle that word. He commissioned me. You are commissioned for a life mission. Now, when an artist is commissioned, he's designed to draw a picture for somebody. A portrait, a work of art is commissioned. You have been commissioned by God to fulfill your mission and your message in the Word. That's your life work. And that's what God wants to say. What I want to say is that what God calls you to do, He equips you to do, and He shapes you to do. Now, Isaiah 43, verse 21 says this, "The people I have shaped for myself," see, God made you for Himself. God didn't make you to live for yourself. He made you to live for Himself. "The people I have shaped for myself will broadcast my praises." How do you do that? How do I broadcast God's praises with my life? By being who God made me to be. How do you broadcast God's praises for your life? By being who God made you to be. When you fulfill and use the gifts and the abilities and the personality and the passion and the experiences that God gave you and made you you, that brings praise to God.
That was Pastor Rick Warren with his current series, Doing Business with God. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with today's offer.
Maybe you've never thought about it, but your job matters to God. You say, how is that? Well, because God planned what you would do with your life, and part of your life includes your job, your work. God planned a ministry for you through the work you do. Now listen, it doesn't matter what your job is. You may be a manager or a stay-at-home mom or dad. You may be a doctor, a teacher, sales clerk, garbage collector. You may be a taxicab driver. You may be paid or unpaid. You may be a volunteer in your work. No matter what you do, God uses your job to put you in a place where you can minister to others, and your ministry is actually in your job. Now, I'd like to help you with this. I'd like to equip you for your ministry at work. So I put together a study kit that I've called Christians in the Workplace. And it actually includes six sessions. They're study sessions. And there's a DVD and there's a study guide where Azusa Pacific professor Paul Schreier and I teach you about ministry at work. And together, we talk about opportunities for spiritual growth, and we give you a guide for moral and ethical decision-making, and we talk about how to find opportunities in your work to share your faith with others. There's a lot of helpful material in this kit, and I'd like to send it to you. I'd like to send you Christians in the Workplace Study Kit just to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. And when you support this ministry, you are helping not only share the good news with people around the world, you're helping Christians to grow. Now, I believe that this series is going to be a good series to help you because we all have to work in different ways. And you'll benefit from this study, and it'll be a great small group study you could actually do with some friends. Now, we're a listener-supported ministry, and your financial gifts make it possible for us to continue broadcasting. So thank you for your gifts. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for your support. I love you, I thank God for you, and I'm praying for you.
Request your copy today by going to PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com, or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people all over the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.